Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, and your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning. Playwright Vicki L. Evans, president and founder of Soaring High Productions, is set to represent the city of Charlotte in the D.C. Black Theater Festival in June, and she's here to talk about her duties during this prestigious event. She's a friend of mine, and I am so excited that she is back here in the studio. We'll also be speaking with the executive director and founder of Kids in Technology, an innovative program I'm sure you'll want to learn more about. I'm excited. It's all coming up here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Joining me this morning is Ms. Vicki L. Evans, president and founder of Soaring High Productions, a faith-based theatrical foundation for gifted and talented performing artists and a step-by-step publishing agent for inspiring authors. Also joining me this morning is Ms. Jacqueline Thomas, executive director and founder of Kids in Technology, an innovative program with a specific focus on programs that include science, engineering, math, and after-school programs for K through 5 and engaging summer camps for 6th through 9th grade students. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having us, Ron.
Absolutely.
Always a pleasure to be on your show.
Absolutely. Vicki, I haven't seen you in such a long time. Where you been?
I tell you what, you need to invite me on more often. You know, it's been almost a year.
Wait a minute now. You know we have an open door policy. All you need to do is give me a call.
Well, I'm going to have to do that more often.
Absolutely. The D.C. Black Theater Festival is coming up, and you're going to be representing Charlotte, the Queen City.
I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, talk a little bit about what you're going to be doing.
Well, actually, A Change is Gonna Come, as you know, is a stage play that deals with domestic violence in the least expected place, and that's the church. And we feel very honored to be able to take this to a global platform on the 2013 DC Black Theater Festival. We are one of the plays that have been selected.
Wow. And that's an honor.
Yes, it's a great honor. Not only have we been selected, we've been given premium time.
Wow.
We have two back-to-back Saturdays, June the 22nd and June the 29th. And so we are very excited about that, being able to represent the Queen City in Washington, D.C. on this level and this platform, taking a message of domestic violence awareness to the people.
Now, you know, I do want to ask, since it's in Washington, you think the president might take a trip around and...
Well, you know me. I'm going to send an invitation to the president
I know you.
And the first lady to come and join us. You know I'm going to do it.
Absolutely. How do you feel about domestic violence being on such a huge platform?
Ron, I feel very fortunate. I feel very good about this because it is a topic that affects us so greatly, especially in the African American community. And now we are doing what we call uncovering the cover up because it is affecting those in our churches. And so to be able to have a platform to highlight this particular subject in the aspect of theater, and to be able to do it to raise awareness and eventually cause some intervention and prevention, that is an opportunity that we are just so ecstatic about.
Now, A Change is Going to Come has had several runs, and obviously coming up in June. Are there any additional runs in Charlotte?
Yes, right now we're working on bringing it back for Domestic Violence Month, which is October. And so right now we haven't solidified the entire plan, so I kind of want to keep that under wraps, but know that it is coming.
But I get the inside scoop,
you
right?
You get the inside scoop, but we are planning something in October for Charlotte here. And let me say this, I'm really excited about going back to D.C. because we were in D.C. in 2008. And so this is like our 5th year anniversary. We get to go back to D.C. So we're excited about that. But Don't even worry about it, Charlotte, because we are coming back to the Queen City in October, and I will give you more details on that.
Absolutely. Now, my wife and I attended the Playwrights Ball held here in Charlotte, hosted by Pejana DuBose, playwright Pejana DuBose.
Yes.
And several awards were given out that night, and as I indicated, as you were walking up the steps this morning, I thought I saw you nestled in the corner somewhere. Were you there? You just have to confirm that you were there.
I was there. I was there taking in the festivities and intermingling with other playwrights. I had a great opportunity to talk to a couple of new playwrights that were coming out, and also to find out that some of them are also going to be at the DC Black Theater Festival from Philadelphia and some other cities. So yes, I was there, and I was glad to be a part of that event because I am a playwright, and anytime someone is trying to go forth in that area, I want to be there.
Absolutely.
Had to pull some strings to get there, but that's another thing.
Now, before we pull Jacqueline into the discussion, I do want to ask, in terms of the industry, not every playwright will reach that pinnacle of a Tyler Perry. Talk a little bit about the difficulties, the challenges in the industry, and why it's so difficult, to get to that particular pinnacle.
I want to say this, I always pay homage to Tyler Perry because he has pretty much opened the door for us as playwrights to even have that platform.
Yeah.
But, I have to say this from my perspective. Everybody have their own individual journeys, and I'm really, really, I feel real good about where I am as a playwright because I've been doing this since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And, when I say 2007, I've been writing plays since 1992. And so, no, I might not be on the platform as a Tyler Perry right now, but in my own right, I feel that I'm successful because it's not about what I'm doing, is who I'm trying to reach and the message that I'm trying to portray. I mean, domestic violence is very, very serious.
Mm-hmm.
And so even from the aspect of the church, you don't find many people who are trying to deal with that subject matter in the church. And I've had many first ladies to come up to me and folks who are really being affected by this to come up to me and say, I'm so glad that you are putting this message out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's difficult, I can speak for the Playwright Ball. It's difficult to get folks to buy into what you're doing.
Yeah.
And even what Tyler Perry did, he had to step out on his own because there were many people who did not support him.
Yeah.
Many people who did not. So sometimes you got to be your own trailblazer. You got to step out on your own and do it on your own and stand on your own and measure your success by what's important to you.
Now, speaking of trailblazers, Ms. Thomas, I am really excited to talk about some of the things that you're doing in the community. When I received the email from Vicky about your background and about kids in technology, I was like, okay, this is something that we can actually talk about over the air. I'm excited that you're here.
Thank you.
A little bit about Kids in Technology LLC.
Okay. Thank you, first of all, for allowing me to come today to share with Charlotte about Kids in Technology, because we are new to Charlotte. However, Kids in Technology has been around since 2002, and we started in Memphis, Tennessee, to where we would award children who made the honor roll, underprivileged children, that is, an opportunity to come and build their own computer. And these are brand new state-of-the-art computer systems, and they would take them home.
Now, can I build an iPad? I'm serious. I would love to learn to build an iPad. I have one. In fact, it's in front of me. But if I can duplicate the technology, that would be wonderful.
We're not building iPads yet, but we are on the software end of it. Mm-hmm. We do teach children how to develop their own apps.
Okay.
On the software end. So it's software engineering. And our hardware engineering, we're still doing, the kids do build laptops, and they build desktop computers. On the hardware engineering side, and we are doing some some repair right now to mobile devices. But we are not building them just yet. But hold on, you know, in the year or two, I'm sure my engineering people and computer technology people will be coming forth with a lesson plan. Hey, Ms. Thomas, let's teach them how to build pads, iPads and tablets.
Now, what about the enthusiasm? I mean, obviously, we are in a technological world, and I'm pretty sure the students are really enthusiastic about not just building the computers and software, but also being able to take them home, really an a tangible example of their hard work.
Absolutely. Words just does not explain or just not justify. I cannot explain that to see the smiles that's on a child's face. And not only that, I have parents, these kids start building when they're like 9 years old. So even when they go to college, they want to take that computer with them. And by that time, you know how technology changes.
Computer's old.
They still want to keep it because it's theirs. They actually author their own experience from start to finish. They actually design the computer themselves. They decide what goes into it, how much memory, the size of the hard drive, what type of monitor they want to go with it, or if they're building a laptop, it's the same thing. So they author their own day camp and summer experience, and it's just, I mean, it's just, it's wild. I can't explain it. The enthusiasm with the kids, and it just takes them to a whole new level. In their lives and building self-confidence and self-esteem, and it just character, it just spills over into so many other areas of a teenager.
Sure. You know, I've had many occasions to speak with children, partly because of my radio career, and you often hear children in terms of their career fields and what they desire to do. It's always in the entertainment field. It's always in the sports arena and that, those kind of things. But this particular program I'm excited about because now you're using your brain to do something technological in an area in our lives and in this country where technology is the driving force of our economy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And a good thing about that too is we're bringing our children from the consumer side of technology. And just, you know, it's one thing to be on Facebook, but it's another one to know how to program your own program. So we're actually taking it beyond them just from the technology phase. We've branched into the other areas of STEM. They're doing science. They're doing engineering. And, of course, they get the math with that. So that's the good thing about it. We're taking them from an end user to actually something they can produce themselves. We have kids that have their own businesses before they leave high school.
Wow.
We have kids that have contracts with the school system now. Now, if you can program at 16, you can work. Because the STEM shortage in America is serious. It's very serious. Ask any small business owner that's trying to get a reputable person to build a website. And if it has to have e-commerce, that means it needs to be program. You need a programmer. And it's just amazing how other countries we're having to hire and ship that work out overseas.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get what you pay for, sometimes you do not. There's just not a lot of ethics in that. So we have to do better.
And now, I did indicate that I would throw a curveball at you.
Okay.
And since you mentioned overseas, it's a little disconcerting when someone named Thomas or someone named Bill picks up and they have that foreign accent. I just wanted to throw that out there. I don't know where that came from.
It's okay. It's the truth.
Now, 11 years later, you started the program in 2002. 11 years later, it's a viable, sought-after program with a bevy of successes. Talk a little bit about what you hope to see this year and years to come.
What I would hope to see this year, what we would like to do, we have branched off into STEM, and we're in other cities as well. We are in Memphis, Tennessee. We're in, of course, Charlotte. We're in Austin, Texas. We have summer camps in Nashville, Chicago, New York, and Atlanta. We've brought it to a national platform for out-of-school time, meaning whenever school is out. However, what I would like to see in 2013, we're moving toward the regular school day to incorporate the program into the regular school day, into the regular curriculum. The kids are, so they can do better in the science and math. Give me any school district, urban school district in America, and I can show you where kids are failing in science. And
now this will add additional time to the school day?
No, it will not. It will simply, it will blend in and be integrated into the, and be based on the Common Core standards, which all states now are slowly, gradually getting to. North Carolina is on the Common Core standards for education. Each states are not individually with their own standards. It's a national platform. So we will align our curriculum. Our curriculum has always aligned with the standards in every state.
Right.
However, we are now pushing it to be implemented during the school days to align. So kids, actually our programs is hands-on, mm-hmm. and that's how most kids learn. So we want to actually bring that so we can see some difference in our science scores and math scores, and eventually bring kids back to where they need to be and bring America full force and leading the nation or leading the world in technology and the sciences, because right now we're not. We're ranking maybe 25 in the world.
And that's atrocious.
It is.
And
it
of course, it forces us to consider going overseas, as indicated a little earlier.
It does.
Yeah. Now, in terms of longevity, every experience, every business, every venture experiences longevity, but there are challenges attached to that longevity. Talk a little bit about some of the challenges that you faced and overcame as a result of, you know, just going into business, and now you're celebrating your 11th year. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about the challenges you had to overcome.
You know, I think the challenges that we have probably trying to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to go here because you ask me, and I'm going to tell you. A lot of it is when you go into technology, and if you're in a technology business, if you're from an end user standpoint, okay. But if you're African American and you're going into technology, it's almost like
it's foreign.
And I always get the question, how much money is the government giving you to do this program?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me answer that. None.
Wow.
None. Parents support this program. I love my parents. Parents supported parents and their kids, the camp. Parents send their kids to after school programs.
Mm-hmm.
Parents invest in their kids, and these are all parents. Black, white, it doesn't matter. Latinos, parents invest in their kids.
Yeah.
So parents are paying for this program. Parents is what's keeping us afloat to this point. But the biggest thing is perception.
Yeah.
It's a quality program. So trying to get in partner, because we partner with major colleges and universities. Mm-hmm. In New York, we're at NYU. In Chicago, we're at DePaul. So trying to sell a program and prove that we're quality and we're offering a quality program has been some challenges, even sometimes up to this day. When you tread in new waters and they see that you're African American and you're doing technology.
See, now, again, you're bringing up an issue that is it something that I've read some stories about Willie Lynch and how, for some reason, African Americans have this tendency to mm-hmm. even question our own abilities.
Absolutely.
And is that disappointing to you, where we often question mm-hmm. our own ability to
very.
Be successful?
Mm-hmm. Very.
Yeah.
Very, especially, and but I get it from all angles. In truth, too, a lot of places that I've gone, African Americans do reach out, and typically they are proud to see me doing what I'm doing. So I don't get a lot of rejection from African Americans. It's not African Americans that are holding me back or that have tried to. No one is holding me back because, mm-hmm. Technology is so popular now and everybody needed everything. Well, we'll give her a chance. And of course, we've been around a long time now. I've proved my point. But I don't get a lot of rejection from African Americans. Actually, we will have a program at the Male Leadership Academy on Nation Forge Road,
mm-hmm.
Where Todd Pipkin is the head master over there. And he really opened his doors from the day he met me and welcomed us with open arms. And I guess he saw we were serving major school systems all over the country.
Now, how many children have you been able to serve since the inception of Kids in Technology?
We usually, wow, I don't know that number. It's a large number. We serve a lot of kids because we, over the summer, we usually serve about 200 to 300 children through the summer. And each week, during after school time, we serve about 250 kids per week.
Wow.
So we serve a lot of children.
Mm. Now, talk a little bit about your success stories. I'm often enamored with hearing about people who have gone through a program and have succeeded in life. Building computers has its own challenges in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But how does that translate into something marketable?
Yeah, kids are usually more disciplined. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, math is not a bad thing. I don't hate math anymore. I don't hate science anymore.
I still can't stand math. I'm just being honest.
You didn't have the opportunity to go through kids and technology.
Absolutely.
So that's why you hate math. Yeah. It's not the enemy. It's not that bad. It's really not.
Because
it's something we use every day.
Right,
and
right.
That's the point we try to drive home with kids. But as far as our success stories go, actually, back in 2002, our first camp, we've had a couple of kids out of there. Actually, one of our students is now a software engineer for International Paper.
Wow.
Another young man that graduated or came through the program in 2002 has an international ministry with his church, to where he goes to Africa and helps set up computers in undeveloped countries and for underprivileged kids.
Now, have they been able to tie their success and even their careers to kids and technology?
Absolutely. Wow. We have those testimonies in letters. Actually, Ryan, a young man that's a software engineer, has been the guest speaker at a lot of our events and comes and he shares his story. Mm-hmm. So they come back and they share their story. Most of our kids now are in college. Are going to school, especially those earlier ones. Back in 2002, they finished school. These particular kids at that time, some of them were only 9 years old. So we have a young agency. You know, we have a young organization, and we've been around for 11 years. But these kids are still really young. You know, but they're either in college or they're finishing college or they're taking on engineering majors or they've taken on something in the STEM area where they never thought they would go to college before.
Now, how does it feel to have alumni in your system? I mean, that has to be absolutely rewarding.
Absolutely. It is rewarding. It really is, because these kids start off so young. Mm-hmm. It's rewarding. It's just hard. You know, especially when you roll through the drive-thru and see them working somewhere and they, Miss Thomas. And you remember when they were 8 or 9 and you're thinking, wow, I'm getting old. Gosh, that's you! You know, so these kids are growing up, and just to be around that long, because obviously, you know, when we first started, my husband and I never thought that I just couldn't see it at that point. I think he was the visionary, I think, at the time. But now that I've, you know, I just, when I go and I see these kids, and a lot of them too come back to work for us. Mm-hmm. We offer employment for them. You know, we provide employment mentorship slots for the kids to come back, and because we always teach, we're trying to teach our kids to learn how to give back.
Yeah.
I think that's why a lot of HBCUs may struggle the way they do. We just come and give what we got and we go. Mm-hmm. But we have to learn to give back. And that's what we're trying to teach our kids.
Now, talk about STEM programs. First, for our listeners, what exactly is the STEM pipeline?
The STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math. Mm-hmm. And the pipeline, when you hear them referring to the pipeline, it's actually getting kids to pursue and go through those careers, through. Actually, you take it in school, you take it when you're young to plant the seed and to come through. And actually, the whole idea is you want them to actually pursue a career in one of the STEM fields, because it's such a shortage in the United States.
Well, why isn't it bolstered in the public school system? It seems like science and math and technology has taken a back seat to other fields.
Well, it's coming along in some schools. It really is. It's a lot of funding and resources out there for STEM education. The president has really taken a strong position on STEM in this country. So it is. It's coming. You have schools that focus on nothing but STEM. Mm-hmm. So it's coming along. We still have some areas that, you know, that need some work, of course, and there's always room for improvement. But it's coming along. You have STEM schools here in Charlotte that focus on nothing but STEM.
Now, in terms of the children that are going through your program, what do you think is the benefit of a STEM program, connecting it to kids and technology, and then, of course, going into the workplace? How does the workforce accept the kinds of programs that you are teaching your children?
Actually, we're preparing the workforce, mm-hmm. because the kids, that the same technology that we're teaching our kids is the same technology that they will get when they go to college. We do professional software, like we teach them Adobe Illustrator, Adobe Photoshop. So we use professional softwares. Mm-hmm. We teach them to program. So the language doesn't change. The software doesn't change. It just get more advanced as they move along. So we're just not teaching them to play on computers.
They're
actually doing the academic part of it as well.
What do you see in terms of the next 10 years, 15, 20 years, where technology is going to take us?
Wow. Gosh. You know, it's we do a class on that. That's funny that you would ask me that, because what we do is we get kids to put together projects and programs to imagine what the world will look like 10 years from now.
Well, if I might interject, the other day I was on Facebook and I was watching television at the same time. And the thought occurred to me when I decided I had to get up out of my chair and go get the television box that was on the other side of the living room. I remember a day when the cable box was connected to the television. You had to drag that long 20
right.
feet. And now you have a box that you can actually use and just flip channels. So the technology has significantly advanced.
And continuing to do so.
Yeah.
I like to think of it as, I think it's going to get better. I think it will make our lives more convenient.
Sure.
And a lot of things, I think the way we live and go about our daily lives, you mentioned cable, is definitely going to change. I think it's going to impact the health industry tremendously.
Yeah,
the way we heal, you have robots doing surgery now.
Yeah.
And the way we heal, I think all of that is going to change. Your hospital probably going to look more like health spas. A lot of healthy nutrition, a lot of things are going to change. Your food sources are changing.
Yeah.
The way food is grown from the ground, you know, in a lab opposed to in the ground, that's kind of scary for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like GMO products where they're genetically modified. But
that's
a lot of that
whole
is going on.
Other discussion
that is
that
a whole
I definitely
other discussion.
Have.
So
yeah.
That's where technology is taking us. In terms of cars, I mean, your car will basically be able to drive itself. Cars will never fly, but we'll never fly. But
well, listen, coming down 77 and 85, I need something, an alternative method to get here to work.
Yeah, so it's you won't be flying, not in a car, according to all the research that has been done, and a lot of people a lot smarter than me, a lot of physicists, we would never fly in a car. But a lot of things, our lives will just be made more convenient, the way we heal, the way we go about our lives, the way we do things, the food we eat, things like that that affect us. I think that's going to change, and it's already changing. The way we shop for groceries, no longer will you be getting up going to the grocery store, and you will use your smartphone for almost everything.
Oh, I'm trying to convince my wife to drop that antiquated phone she has.
Eventually, those phones will not exist. We all will be living by smartphones and QR codes.
And the interesting and fascinating thing about all of that is kids and technology is at the forefront of all of
Absolutely.
This. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Vicki, let me just bring you back into the discussion. I do want to concentrate, because we only have 2 minutes left, but in terms of African Americans supporting Black-owned businesses and ventures like Kids in Technology, what is your overall message to African Americans, particularly if they are suspicious or if they have some reservations about the acumen of Black-owned businesses?
Well, for me, I can say that on individually and even as a company, this is how I feel about supporting Black-owned businesses. And I think that we should kind of focus on that and change our views. There is enough room for us all. If we will just learn to support one another, I am never threatened by what somebody else is doing or what somebody else is having, because I just believe that there is enough room for all of us. And if we support each other, I think we'll get there a lot quicker than if we do it the opposite way.
Amen.
So, I mean, let's come together as a community, as a people, and let's support one another.
Absolutely.
Let's support one another. You know, I was in Memphis. I know we got just a minute. I was in Memphis just this past week, and April 4th was, of course, the day that Martin Luther King was assassinated. It's been 45 years. And just think about his message, his dream for us all,
right.
You know, and that dream can be achieved if we work together and not be negative in our outlook about our future. Let's not have the crab in the barrel mentality.
Absolutely. Jacqueline, if folks are interested in the program, how could they reach you?
Kidsintechnology.net. kids in, the letter N, technology.net. Go to our website. It's very comprehensive. All the information is there. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I had a wonderful time. I am excited about this program. Again, I want to build me an iPad. I can call it the R-Pad or something. Absolutely. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I'd like to again thank Vicki L. Evans, President and Founder of Soaring High Productions, and Jacqueline Thomas, Executive Director and Founder of Kids in Technology. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. Today's show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.